Oh yes, upon scientific principles. Everything that lives in forms, which your human senses can take cognizance of, lived in a form which the spirit senses are able to take cognizance of before it entered the merely external form. Everything lives in eternity, is governed by the eternal law, has existed in the past, lives in the present, and claims an existence in the future. To my mind, immortality is the gift of all things. The old adage that coming events cast their shadows before, is eminently true, and those sensitive persons whose internal lives are in close communion with the other life, are able to behold these so-called phantoms, to recognize their presence. You call them apparitions, for warnings, and you suppose, sometimes, that they are specialties, sent by God to inform you of danger. This is not so. It is simply the exercise of a scientific law, and as you come within the sphere of law, you recognize it. Millions of unseen, unrecognized worlds exist, beyond the reach of the eye or the telescope. When one after another is brought within the range of human vision, science does not think of saying, this is a special interposition of divine providence. No. The time of such folly has gone by. Everything that has existence at all, even in the most phantom-like shape, exists by law. There is nothing like imagination, not as you define it. There is no unsystematized vagary in all God's realm. Everything that is by virtue of natural law, and insofar as you understand the law and can come into communion with it, so far you sense that which in the external you cannot see, cannot hear. Question. Is it possible that an internal disease, curable, can be cured by simply laying on the hands externally? Answer. Certainly, it is possible, for the magnetic currents or healing magnetism that is used in the laying on of hands, passes more than over the surface of the animal life, it permeates the inner being. Question. Can infants, of a few weeks old, recently deceased, return and give an intelligible, oral message through a medium? If so, please give an explanation. Answer. No, they cannot do so. That is one of the things that are impossible. If you are told that they can, do not believe it. The child of 3 weeks old enters the spirit land as a babe, nothing more. Could it talk here? No. Could it manifest intelligence here? No. Then do not look for it, simply because it has passed through the change called death. By William E. Channing, September 17, 1868. Question. Will the intelligence please explain the following paragraph? Strange hallucination. A strange and surprising incident occurred last week in the country some miles north of Corinth. A Mr. Mangrum killed a young man during the war, and a few days since Mr. Mangrum was on a deer drive, and while at one of the stands he saw an object approaching him which so alarmed him that he raised his gun and fired at it. The object, which resembled a man covered with a sheet, continued to advance upon him, when he drew his pistols and emptied all the barrels at the ghost. None of the shots seeming to take effect, he climbed a tree to make his escape. By the time he was a short distance up the tree, the white object was standing under him with its eyes fixed upon him, and he declared that it was the spirit of the young man whom he had killed. Mangrum was so startled at the steady gaze of the eye that he had been the cause of laying cold in death, that he fainted and fell from the tree. His friends carried him home, the ghost following and standing before him constantly, the sight of which brought up the recollection of his guilt with such force to his mind, that he died in great agony after 2 or 3 days' suffering. Corinth, Miss, Caucasian. Answer. The writer of the article seems to believe that this phenomenon is but a hallucination, a something unreal, a vagary of the brain. You spiritualists know better, you, whose minds have been enlightened with regard to the science of life here and life hereafter, know better. You know very well that it is not only possible for the spirit to return, but it is altogether probable that, under such circumstances, it would return, and, if the murderer had any mediumistic powers, would make use of them. Now, if the spirit were kindly disposed, and retained no spirit of revenge towards the murderer, it would be impossible for the spirit to seek to do the murderer harm. But should the spirit of revenge linger with the disembodied spirit, it would be the most natural thing in the world that it should seek to find expression here, and, finding means through which to express itself, would use them. This is no miracle, it is one of the legitimate manifestations of your time, a child of law, perfect in itself, and amenable only to the great law of the universe. Ignorant minds may cavil at such manifestations, but when their ignorance has departed, their caviling will have departed also. Question. Can spirits in the other world exercise their power to make people do wrong? Answer. They certainly can, and do exercise that power very largely. Question. Cannot good spirits also exercise their power to make them do right? Answer. They certainly can, but if the propensity to do wrong exists in the subject used, that propensity will be 219 very likely to attract to itself a similar evil. Therefore the battery would be complete, and the undeveloped spirit would gain perfect control. Question. Would not the good influence have power to counteract the bad? Answer. Not always. No good influence can break any law, nor infringe upon any law. By William E. Channing, September 22, 1868. Question. Why is it that at public circles our friends do not come as often as strangers? Answer. If by public circles you refer to this place, we can assure you that all the intimate friends of the persons who are gathered here from time to time are prohibited from communicating. Question. I mean other circles. Answer. Then ask your own individuality why it is. Would you be as likely to communicate private, that is, domestic intelligence, to your friends when any number of strangers were present? Certainly not. You would 9 times out of 10 feel a retiring delicacy that would overcome your desire to meet the friends and communicate with them. Now, all spirits who desire to communicate with their own dearly beloved ones who have passed beyond the veil, should remember that those friends are human still. They possess all the attributes of human nature. They would rather meet their friends in private than in public. Therefore, if you desire to be satisfied in the communications that may take place between your friends and yourself, meet them privately, and see to it that you select the very best instruments that you have any knowledge of, for the very best and unto good. This was at page 220. Question. Please define the deity. In your invocation you seem to address an eternal spirit. I would like to hear that spirit defined. Answer. I can only define God to my own satisfaction, not to the satisfaction of any other individual in the universe. To me, God is the living, eternal power of good that I see everywhere. I see this power in the flowers, in the rocks, in the air, in everything that I behold. In all things with which I come in contact I recognize this power. To me it is good, it is God. There is something of good in all things to me. In this sense I am a materialist. I do not believe in a God apart from his works. I do not believe in a God outside of nature, but I believe in one that is in and around us, and in all with which we come in contact. To me this is God. You may call it Jehovah, or Brahma, or by any name you please, but it is the great, living spirit that permeates all things and controls all. Question. Why do we not have better mediums, when it is so essential that we should? Answer. Because you do not know how to take care of those you have. When these are properly cared for, and not pampered in the wrong way, when they are properly understood, and educated by you into the recognition of the divine life, then, doubtless, the spirit world will exercise its power to develop more. Now you cannot well care for those you have. Therefore do not ask for more of the same sort, or of a better sort. You would not care for them any better. Were the Jesus of other days to return, exercising his power tangibly over humanity today, would humanity recognize that power? Does it recognize the power? No. Jesus says, I come to my own, but my own receive me not. Question. If Jesus is really a person, and here among us, why does he not come to these circles, and answer these questions? Are we not now intelligent enough to accept it, if he did? Answer. Would it be any more satisfactory? I think not. Would the mere attachment of the name of Jesus the Christ to any truth make it more of a truth? Certainly not. Question. Would he come, were he invited? Answer. It is possible, and perhaps probable. You are not to understand that Jesus the Christ in person, as a distinct spirit, cannot return and manifest to mortals, for he certainly can. He who, through the guardianship of truth, had so clear an understanding of these things, so far in the past, he who could see through the darkness of that past, sees equally well through the brighter light of today, and the same power that was so potent in other days is not less so today. Jesus the Christ lives today, as he lived 1800 years ago. He has the same gifts, the same love, the same wisdom, but should he come in propria persona as a spirit, announcing himself as the veritable Jesus the Christ of other days, would he make you understand him? Immediately the cry of blasphemy would be raised, hands would be lifted in holy horror everywhere, and yet this meek and lowly Nazarene walks in your midst every day. Rest assured of that. By William E. Channing, September 24, 1868. Chairman. The following question was sent to us for publication, with the request that some spiritualist should make it clear, if possible. I will present it here. Question. Are the elements in the world beyond subjective? Or objective? That is to say, communications purporting to come from the spirit land state that trees, mountains, rivers, and flowers exist there. Do they exist simply in the imagination, subjective, or are they a reality, objective? If you step into my parlor, you, in common with others, agree that there are windows, chairs, and pictures in the room. Take the entire community, rich and poor, educated and ignorant, the good and the bad, all will agree to the same general fact. If a spirit world exists, and the occupants thereof do really communicate with us here on earth, why, the unbeliever questions, do not the spirits unanimously agree, as above, in regard to the tangible reality of things purporting to exist in their sphere? Answer. All the phenomena of nature, and all the forms in nature that have an existence with you, have also an objective existence in the spirit world proper. There are things, places in the spirit world, as well as thoughts. The peach and the pear, the glorious forest tree, the mountain and the ocean, do not exist alone in the imagination of the spirit, or in the memory of what has been. But they are living, tangible, present realities. Your correspondent asks why the spirits do not all agree upon this subject. It is very clear why they do not. The Western Prairie is by no means an Eastern city. That you will admit. A wild man of your Western Prairie, when told of the swarms of intelligent beings that fill your Eastern cities, doubts you, cannot believe you. And were he to pass to the spirit world having no knowledge of these Eastern cities, he would return telling you that his spirit world was a prairie or a hunting ground. You should not forget that the spirit world is only a condition of being, just as your world is here. There are places where there are no trees, no flowers, no vegetables, none of the beauties of nature, nothing that would be beautiful to you, and there are intelligent spirits dwelling in such places. If they have the power to return, they come back reporting that there are no natural beauties in the spirit world, no natural scenery. They have heard of it, but they have not seen it. It is all imagination. So it is to them. But to those who have been more fortunate, it is not imagination. The happy child that returns from the spirit land will tell you of the flowers, the birds, the glorious spiritual prospects, everything that goes to gladden the soul. Perhaps at the next breath one will return, saying, "Ayo, there are no flowers, no fruits, I see nothing of the kind." My spirit home furnishes nothing of the kind. Has one been false? No, both have told you the truth. Your spirit home is by no means the spirit home of any other spirit. Your surroundings are dependent upon yourself. You are attracted by a spiritual law of gravitation that you cannot thwart to your proper places in the spirit world. That place has its natural spiritual scenery, or it is devoid of it. Perhaps there are trees and flowers, grasses and rivers, perhaps not. The great scroll of spiritual revealments is fast being unrolled, and slowly the mists and fogs of your former superstition will pass away. You have believed in a personal deity, seated upon a great white throne. You will by and by lay that false idea under your feet, and embrace one more rational. Just so fast as the light of God's wisdom and truth shines into your souls, just so fast you can perceive the truth in all its simplicity. We tell you again and again, there are beautiful things in the spirit world, trees, flowers, grasses, fruits, all that you have here are faithfully represented there, you may be sure of that. This was at page 224. By William E. Channing, September 29, 1868. Question. Are all that were most pure in life and character here, and consequently most exalted in spirit life, agreed with you in seeking to propagate the spiritual philosophy? And if not, why not? Answer. Jesus has said, "O blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." It is my belief that they who are truly pure in their inner lives cannot fail to see God everywhere. As the soul advances in purity and perfection, it perceives more and more of God's truths, those which he had heretofore called hidden, mysterious. It becomes more and more fully acquainted with the science of life, not only the life that is, but that has been, and is to come. Purity, goodness, perfection, are to me one and the same. They are only terms used to express God's attributes through humanity. Those intelligences that passed from this earth with pure thoughts, with holy desires, with their inner being elevated above the darkness of human life, cannot fail to perceive this angel, spiritualism, in its true light, and seeing and understanding it to be the voice of God to the children of earth, if they are loyal to their purity of soul. They will do all in their power to roll on the car of progress, so far as spiritualism is concerned. The ranks are well filled in the spirit world. That vast army who seek to benefit Earth's people know that spiritualism is to be the savior of this age. They know it to be the light by which the soul shall understand something concerning the mysteries of godliness, and knowing this, they will labor zealously in the cause. Question. Are the opponents of this theory, viz., the churches and preachers of Christendom, ministered to by spirits? Answer. They are. No one is left outside of spiritualism and disembodied spirits. Question. We are told that man's spirit has always existed in an individualized state, that whatever has a beginning must have an ending, but man, as an immortal being, has always existed. If I have rightly understood, then, I would ask, did man, in any prior state of existence, no more than he did at his birth into this world? Answer. The soul, in essence, is of God, ever has been, is, and I believe ever will be. But that external individuality through which the essence is expressed, is perpetually changing. It is subject to the law of change, and from all past eternity has been passing through an infinite number of changes. I believe in the eternity of the soul, past, present, and future, but not in the eternity of the individuality that belongs to the present. No soul can claim to possess an eternal individuality. Our immortality, that which belongs to our inner lives, is of God, changeless, perfect. Question. What is progression? Could man's spirit have been progressing through all the infinite ages of past eternity, and still understand so little at its entrance into our world? Answer. Progression, to me, is simply another term for change. The soul progresses in cycles, as does all life. It repeats itself again and again, ever evolving around its center, God, and at each revolution takes on new life, exhibits some more perfect attributes, stretches out further into infinity, becomes wiser, becomes, in the external, holier. Question. I would like to have you give your idea of a power that has been with some persons for years, by which, if they say to another person that a table is heavier than its usual weight, that person will, in most cases, acknowledge that an unseen power is upon the table, making it quite heavy, the one speaking not coming in contact with the table, or using his willpower knowingly. Answer. Disembodied spirits have the power to add to the laws of natural gravitation, and to take therefrom. For instance, certain spirits have the power to make this article of furniture, the table, very light or very heavy, but the power can be used only through certain physical organisms. In all probability, the individual you speak of possessed the requisite power. Question. Can this power be applied successfully in removing disease at a distance by sending a letter? Answer. It certainly can. By Reverend Henry Ware. Question. Someone states that spirits have to prepare a person who is to become a medium, by spiritualizing his forces before they can manifest through him. Is this a fact? And what is the substance used in his training? Answer. I am not aware that mediumship is a thing of art. To me, it belongs to life and to nature, and any kind of training cannot change its quality. Disembodied spirits do often experiment with mediums, but it is not that they may change the mediumistic forces, but that they may understand them. It is not that they may make a person a medium, but that they may learn to use the powers already in existence. Mediums are such from conception. It is a power over which they had no control, and in which they had no voice whatever. It is a part of their nature, and a part of their life. The elements used by disembodied spirits are found pervading the nerves. This subtle force that brings the departed spirit into communion with those still in the body, is the life principle of the nervous system. No kind of physical training can create it, or change its inherent properties. The power that is within may be brought to the exterior, but it is essentially the same. And they who tell you that they can develop mediums, or make or change them, tell you what is wholly unsound. It matters not where the teaching comes from. Nature and the science of life determine it to be unsound. By Thomas Paine, October 12, 1868. Question. Is the formation of the National Association of Spiritualists sanctioned by the spirit world? In other words, was the movement premature, or otherwise? A concise answer is solicited by many inquiring minds. Answer. There is always more or less agitation preceding the birth of any new idea, subject, or condition, whether mental, physical, or spiritual. The movement in question is in itself partly premature and partly upon the threshold of its proper time. Spiritualists and spiritualism are by no means, at the present time, one. They are as clearly separate from each other as the earth is separate and different from the stars, belonging to one great spiritual system, but having distinct individualities. Spiritualists have hardly the first true idea of what spiritualism is, and what it demands of them. To be united to spiritualism is a very great thing. It is to part with all one's old ideas with regard to things of the spirit. It is to stand upon a new and untried platform. How many spiritualists, in the deepest, and truest, and divinest sense, do this? I know of none, because I know of none who understand spiritualism as it is, the almighty science of life today and life that is to come. This was at page 228. This movement, concerning which you desire an answer, as I before remarked, is in part before its time, and in part it is upon the threshold of its appointed time. I do not believe in seeking to force anything into existence before its natural, appointed time. I do not believe in seeking to force a man or woman to believe what they are not ready to believe, to sign articles of faith of which they know very little. And as I believe that spiritualists have not yet grown large enough to understand spiritualism, I believe the time has not yet come for the entering in of the body of spiritualists to the great temple that they desire to enter so earnestly. It is well to organize, but it is well, before organizing, to understand what organization means. It is well to understand ourselves, and the great body of thinkers to whom we seek to become united. I would not, for a moment, throw one pebble in the way of this great stream of progress, but I would check those minds that are seeking to override the little things that they may gain the great things. I would force every spiritualist, so-called, to study the principles of spiritualism ere they seek to ally themselves to the great cause of spiritualism, either spiritually or materially. I am well aware that in union there is strength, and that as spiritualists need to be strengthened, they need to be united, but I am also well aware that there is a union more to be sought after than the external one. When spiritualists are more united in spirit, then they will of necessity organize in the material. They will flow into that condition, of necessity. But, while they are so disunited in spirit, they may seek permanent organization, but they will seek in vain. Let the organization, then, commence in the internal, and work to the external. How is it now? Why, even a casual observer need not be mistaken. While, throughout the length and breadth of the land, spiritualists are united, perhaps, upon the one idea that spirits can return, and can communicate with their friends in mortal, having said this much with regard to their unity, we have said all that we can. By Theodore Parker, October 13, 1868. Question. The intelligence purporting to be Thomas Paine said that spiritualists are united in the belief that spirits can return. We have constant proofs that our friends do manifest, through favorable conditions. Will you tell us something about the indwelling life of spiritualism, whereby we can rise a step higher in this sublime philosophy? Answer. Spiritualism belongs to life, and is always with you, and just so fast as you grow in the knowledge of spiritual things, just so fast you come to understand what spiritualism is. It is always well to seek for the highest gifts, for the very best places in nature from which to view God and His works. The soul ever aspires towards the better, some in one way, and some in another, and although in the outward some souls seem to retrograde, yet they never do. They are all seeking for happiness, for a better state of being. Mr. Paine remarked that spiritualists were thoroughly disunited, except upon one point. I believe that to be true, but I believe also that unity will come to the great body of spiritualists as they grow in spiritual things. Just as fast as they put the letter under their feet, and accept the Spirit, they will rise, and no faster, they will come into possession of those diviner beauties that belong to spiritualism, they will understand it better, enjoy it more fully, and be more nearly allied to it. Now, as Mr. Paine says, they are widely apart. Spiritualists and their belief are not married as yet, notwithstanding many suppose, no doubt, that their belief is very dear to them. So it is, but it has not yet become a part of their inner lives. All things in nature grow by slow and distinct degrees, and as spiritualism is of nature, all that belongs to it unfolds by slow degrees. Nature makes no marked and distinct overriding steps. No. Slowly and surely she moves on through eternity, and so it will be with regard to spiritualism and spiritualists. In the years that are to come, those persons who recognize the truths of spiritualism will enjoy those truths. They will be wedded to their inner lives, for those persons will have grown large enough to put on the beautiful clothing that belongs to spiritualism, but you spiritualists of today are not large enough. But do not mourn because you are not. You are in the alphabet of this great science of life, and you must learn that well, ere you can take the next step. By Father Henry Fitz-James, October 15, 1868. Question. What is the occupation of spirits in the spirit world? Answer. Each spirit is occupied somewhat differently from all other spirits.